Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Biggs. Well, as we look at the Miami Dolphins and we look at everything that happened in Pittsburgh, we're going to bring in our expert. You know him. He is probably the best content creator in the nation. A guy of mine, Ryan Holmes. Good afternoon, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. I don't know about best content creator in the nation, but I'll take it.
Now, when we look at what were your three takeaways from Sunday's win?
Well, the first one is how well Derek Carr is playing when he doesn't have optimal things going on around him offensively. Especially the offensive line hasn't played very well. There was no running game. And for him to keep his composure, you know, there was a couple fumbles early, but he overcame that and just, you know, make smart decisions and get the balls to the perimeter to his playmakers and then take advantage of Henry Ruggs. He took advantage of Renfro. He got the ball to Moreau, got the ball to Drake, and it wasn't just we're going to force feed Waller. So, I thought number one is how well Derek Carr played in this game. Number two would be the spreading the ball around. Just, you know, get all these guys involved. The targets were, there was three or four guys that had seven and a couple that had five. It wasn't 19 here, three here, two there. And you saw how those guys kept involved throughout the game as they were getting targets. Number three would be the defense. Again, you know, how well they're limiting the deep play. They're not blowing assignments. They're not giving up balls down the field for the most part. They controlled the run game. They didn't allow Najee Harris to get off other than one or two decent runs. And then the pass rush for two straight weeks has been really good. Some things we haven't seen in Raider Nation for a long time, and they're getting contributions from several people. It's not just Max Crosby. This week it was Solomon Thomas. And Ngakoue was still getting pressure. Nassib got some pressure. Jefferson got some pressure. So they're keeping these guys fresh. They're rolling them in. Everyone knows where to be. They're not blowing assignments. They missed some tackles. That's going to happen. They need to clean that up. But for the most part, they're playing sound fundamental defense, and the quarterback's playing at a very high rate, and they're beating good teams as a result.
It's funny. I look at the number of episodes I've done. This is our 73rd episode, I think, and I feel something I haven't felt with this team. Like, positivity. I know they've had hot starts before, but this feels different. This feels, I don't know, like, do you sense that this team just, it's something different around this team where in the years past, oh, they just got hot at the right time. This is more of like, if that defense continues to do this, they could do some special things this season. Or is it too early to tell yet?
I think the sustainability of this is different. And like you said, it's not a flash in the pan. The offense didn't get hot for a week or two. And they got some timely turnovers. They're playing good defense. They're stopping teams on third and long. They're getting pressure. They're creating a couple of turnovers here and there. They're not blowing assignments. The kicking game from the kicker to the punter has been very good. Their return game hasn't been great, but, you know, they're kicking the ball fine on the special team side of it. They're playing good defense. The offense is moving the ball pretty much up and down the field. They're getting explosive plays, and they're doing it against probably two of the top six or seven defenses in the league. And that's without a running game, and that's with, you know, basically second and third string guys at four out of the five positions along the offensive line, depending on how you feel about Andre James this early in the season. They had to count on Illuminaire. They have to count on Simpson, who got absolutely abused by Cam Hayward for most of that game. And Hayward did it to Colton Miller and a couple other guys, too. And they had to do it for a half with Brandon Parker. In the first half of that game, Alex Leatherwood was not good. It was really bad on tape, so I'm assuming – I don't know when he got injured. It's good to know that he's back at practice today, so he's practicing. But at the same time, like, you know, it's the old narrative, and I was one of them, and I still, you know, I'm not going to drink the coffee just yet. Like, I want to see him do this for 17 weeks. He's done it for two. Can Derek Carr play at this level or close to this level for 17 games? Because if he can, with the way the defense is playing, this team's going to push for the playoffs for sure.
I mean, it is wild to watch Carr. Like you said, he had the early fumble trouble. And we know previous years Carr had the early fumble trouble. He has footsteps games over. Hence, the Falcons game last year. He kind of just picked himself up and dust himself off and got to it. What impresses me early about Carr is one number, 8.8 yards per attempt. That, to me, screams actual aggressiveness. And you mentioned sustainability. Do you think that number will hover around 8 to 8.5 for the rest of the season? Or do you think that you'll see that couple moments of Carr being a little uneasy?
I'm still not sold on the offensive line, so it's going to depend on how long these guys can stay healthy. They can't have any more injuries. I mean, I don't know what – if they lost Colton Miller with all the other injuries they have right now, we may be singing a totally different tune. But if Miller can stay healthy and if that offensive line can get just a little bit better, then I do believe that they're going to be able to work the ball down the field. And the interesting part to me is when he's taking these shots, it's normally in the second half. So to me it feels like they're coming out in the first half of these last two games. They're calling some underneath stuff. They're giving some looks. And Gruden and Carr are adjusting based on what the defense is playing and what they think they're going to get. And then the second half, once they figured out what the defensive game plan is, they're carving. Like, the second half for Derek Carr the last 2 weeks has been really good. And I think it's him and Gruden being on the same page and them understanding, okay, these are the coverages we're going to get. This is how we're going to attack it. This is what we're going to run, and it's worked. It's worked to perfection for two straight weeks in the second half. And that's something during John Gruden's second tenure. If you look at their third quarter numbers over the last 3 years, they've been very bad. And the fact that they've had two really good second halves shows that there's some growing going on between both of those guys.
Now, when we come back, I want to talk about apparently Henry Ruggs is kind of alive, and he produced in game two. But that's when we come back. You're listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on FPC Radio Network.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Spags, Ryan Holmes. Right, you saw Henry Ruggs get loose for 61 yards, but what surprises me most after the first two games is the targets. He has 12 in two games, where I think he had, 45 all of last year?
I think it's 43. Yeah, it was less.
What do you think so far early on is the major difference?
First, I think he's healthy. We know he got hurt last year in the opening game against Carolina, and then he got hurt again a couple of weeks after that. But I think it's his understanding of coverages and that him and Carr had an off season. They had training camp. They had OTAs. I think he knows the offense. So you see Gruden moving him around, and he's playing several different positions. He's not just the alert route or the guy that's running off coverage. He's still doing that plenty in this offense. But then you can see that they're moving him around and calling plays for him. So, you know, clearly the shot play down the field, the 61-yarder, that was just, hey, it's 3rd and 10. Run as far as you can, run the deep post, and we're just going to throw it up there. They ran that same play against the Rams in the scrimmage in L.A. It was almost identical of him splitting the two defenders and running away from them. But you saw him run some other routes. You saw them throw the wide receiver screen to him last week, even though he only got 2 or 3 yards, or maybe that was this week. You saw him run a quick flat route that, with the cushion that he got. It was 12 yards, and he ran the dig route for a 30-yarder. So he's not just running posts and deep overs. They're trying to get him involved. He ran a hitch last week in the fourth quarter against the Ravens. So his route tree is expanding. Now, he's still having a lot of trouble getting off of press coverage. But based on how Gruden runs those stack and bunch formations, he can get him out of those situations. And then Carr's trusting him. Clearly, for Carr to throw that ball up and just hope he runs under it when he has Renfro open for the first down underneath, it's good to see Carr take those shots when they're there and then trust that Henry's going to outrun the defense. And he's not going to do this every week. I mean, we can't expect 5 for 100 and a touchdown, but he's going to have these explosive plays because teams – and Pittsburgh did it. They double-teamed Waller 80% of his game. So these other guys are going to have to come free. Brian Edwards has gotten the end zone twice, but neither one of them counted technically. So it's good to see Renfro eating, Moreau, Drake, Ruggs, Edwards, and then when Jacobs comes back, like, this team's loaded with weapons. Everyone was panicking about Nelson Agholor, and we talked about it at length last year. They don't need Nelson Agholor in this offense.
Now, shifting to the defensive side of the ball, what do you think has been the initial surprise that you have going, like, oh, I don't think this guy could still or could do this? What player has pleasantly surprised you most?
I think Casey Hayward. He hasn't allowed a completion all year. You saw him in one-on-one coverage down the sideline against a big physical guy like Claypool. He didn't panic. There was no pass interference. He played the ball, knocked it away. He's been really good in coverage. He's been really good tackling in space. And he's 32 years old. A lot of people thought he was, you know, towards the end of his career there the last year or two with San Diego, LA, the Chargers. But I just think the consistency that Hayward's brought, and honestly the biggest thing about this defense is these guys are communicating. It's a very simple scheme. They've run cover three probably in the two games 75% of the time. So these guys know where to be. They can play fast. They're not thinking. And they're communicating pretty well, and you can see it on tape. You can see, like, all the communication going back and forth between the secondary. The pass rush is getting all the accolades right now, and rightfully so. The secondary has actually played very well for the first 2 weeks as well.
Now, if we shift gears and we face a Miami team that is starting veteran Jacoby Brissett over Tua Tagovailoa, do you think that that helps the Raiders, or do you think that hurts the Raiders as far as Brissett in the backfield?
So I'm probably in the minority here. I think it hurts the Raiders. I think Brissett, he's a veteran. He's been around. And what the Raiders are going to do is they're going to give up the underneath quick stuff that you saw Pittsburgh take. And they're going to rally and tackle, and they're going to hope that, you know, the teams get – they panic, and the quarterback tries to force the ball down the field, or they get into some third and long situations. Brissett, you know, I know he holds onto the ball a little bit too long. I know the Dolphins' offensive line is a mess, but if they go to a quick, short passing game in this game, and they take the hitch routes and the curl routes and the flat routes, the stuff the Raiders' defense is going to give them, and Brissett's going to take it. He can put together 10 or 12 play drives, assuming the offensive line doesn't fall apart and there's no holding penalties. So I think it actually is a little bit in the Dolphins' favor to have a veteran back there that might be able to be willing to take those check down routes and work the ball down the field and matriculate it versus, you know, first week, Lamar Jackson is not that kind of guy. You saw Big Ben got impatient. They tried to throw the ball down the field 8, 9, 10 times. I don't think Brissett's going to try to do that. So I think this is going to be a little bit harder a game to play than a lot of Raider fans think. They're going to show up and this game's going to be 34-10 W. I don't see that. This Miami team, I know they got shut out 35-0, but they also went to New England and won. They still have a good defense. They can still stop the run. They do have weapons. They do have a good tight end. The problem with them is their offensive line has been one of the worst two or three units in football. So the Raiders' defensive line is going to have to get after these guys. But I also think they're going to take the short stuff underneath, and it's going to kind of neutralize that a little bit.
Now, when we look at the Dolphins' offense, Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, kind of that thunder-lightning combination where, I don't know, I just – it's funny. We have done so many of these podcasts, man, and just normally I am the voice of kind of skepticism. Why don't I see this game being close?
Well, I think a lot of it is recency bias. You see how bad they played against Buffalo. They're missing their starting quarterback. Their offensive line's been bad. But this is Miami's still a good football team. Like I said, they still beat New England. I know they got boat raced last week, but they had a lot of things go wrong. This game, to me, what this game should happen is if this is – I remember the John Gruden team the year – I think it was 2001. They beat Carolina 52-10. They were beating teams 45-10. 45-7, 52-10, like I said. This is the game where this Raiders offense needs to go out and get up 14-0 right away, take the running game away, and make Miami pass protect because you can't do it. The offensive line is awful. But if this game stays close and they can run the ball, they get a couple play actions, they keep the ball underneath, they don't force it, this game's going to be a lot closer than people think. So this is the game, but the Raiders are a good team. If this is a playoff team at home, they need to jump out to a 2-touchdown lead fairly quickly and make Miami play catch-up. This can't be a field position, you know, field goal here, field goal there. The Raiders have to score early in the red zone. They can't kick field goals like they did in Pittsburgh. And I want to see how this Raiders team responds. Are they going to go for the early, or are they going to play conservative? Is Gruden going to try to get the running game going? Are they going to kind of work the ball underneath like they have in the first half of the last 2 weeks? Or are they just going to come out and say, you know what, you can't cover these weapons. You're not going to rush the passer, and are we going to go after it? So, that, to me, that's the intrigue of this game. How aggressive are the Raiders in the first quarter? It's going to tell me a lot about this game and this team.
If this game is close after halftime, I'm concerned. And like I said, I am as cynical as one who follows the Raiders as anybody, but I know the Dolphins have good receivers. I like Jalen Waddle. I like the tight end. Mike Gesicki is one of the guys who, if he ever got strong quarterback play, he'd be a handful. He's like 6'6 with ups. And Devontae Parker is right there. You got veterans like Albert Wilson. But
Jakeem Grant is a speedster that can make a play too.
Exactly. He's good off of the punt return and in space. For me, it's I look at one of the things that helps the Raiders, honestly, the Dolphins' pass rush, or lack thereof. Two sacks.
Yep.
That's it. Two. And Christian Wilkins, who's a defensive tackle, has one. And I just Andrew Van
they
Ginkle. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they don't have Van Noy. Van Noy was probably, I think he was their leading sack guy. He's not there this year. And they schemed up a lot of sacks last year. They blitzed a lot of guys often. So maybe they try that. Maybe they come out and try to blitz the Raiders early. I wouldn't do it personally because of all the weapons the Raiders have. But, you know, maybe we get it, or maybe Carr hits a couple of plays early. But it's still a good defense. They still have Byron Jones. They still have Xavier Howard. They still have Eric Rowe. I mean, they still have one of the McCourties. I don't remember. I think it's Jason. One of them's there.
Yep.
They still have Jerome Baker in the middle, who's a decent linebacker. So, I mean, they still have some pieces. They don't have the dynamic edge guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the Raiders should be able to scheme some stuff up. But I don't think the Raiders are going to be able to run the ball consistently either.
That's
so,
a problem.
This is going to be an interesting game.
Speaking of that, just our last question. Do you think that with the passing time and Josh Jacobs with the neck injuries, that this is going to, if you think long-term, going to prohibit that fifth year being picked up?
I don't, because I think John Gruden likes the toughness of Jacobs. Clearly, he's their best inside runner. He's still really young. He's only 22 years old, maybe 23. The injuries are starting to mount up, so it's every year he's had nagging injuries. And he looked great in the scrimmages against the Rams, bouncing around, showing burst. He lost some weight. And then first week of the season, before it even starts, we get the mystery illness. Then we get turf toe, which could be around with him all season. He's just going to have to manage the pain. He had the shoulder injury. He's had lower body injuries. So it's starting to add up. I mean, I don't think he's going to – we're not talking Zeke Elliott contract here, you know, 5 years, $90 million or anything like that. But I think that he is a guy that they're going to pick up the fifth-year option because in that same draft, clearly they're not going to pick up Farrell's option. And then that leaves Abram, who I think is playing a lot better this year, and then and Jacobs. I think that they'll end up probably picking up both of those guys. And the cost to pick up a fifth-year option on a running back is not near what it is for an offensive lineman, a quarterback, or a defensive end. So it's not cost prohibitive. Now, are they going to give him a second contract? That's a totally different question.
That's a good question. Now, how can people interact with you on social media?
They can reach out to my Twitter handle. It's rholm, R-H-O-L-M, 22. Do the weekly all 22 breakdowns. They can interact, ask questions there, or just shoot me a DM me another question if they have it. I might start a weekly mailbag here. I haven't decided. So we'll see. I'm getting a lot of questions lately, so that's good. It's good to see the activity on the account.
Yes, it is. He is one of the best out there. Ryan Holmes, thank you so much for joining us on the Full Press Raiders podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good yourselves. Be good to each other.